5G coverage, 5G phones, less money, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required, actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Max Kellerman.
Justin Fields, how much of the way the Bears are playing is a response to the fact that the locker room wanted that guy under center?
A lot. It is important because when you're in training camp and the veteran players are gravitating to a young player and a young rookie, and all of a sudden they are saying things in their press conferences and they are giving him his flowers, but not disrespecting the starter and Andy Dalton, but certainly sending a message to let everybody know that this guy, Jay, is probably the best guy that gives us the chance to win. Mm-hmm. And when you insert him into the lineup, it's a electrifying energy. Some people just have that it factor.
GJ and Max, mornings on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Pelicans still practicing. The anticipation and expectation is that we will hear from David Griffin as he addresses reporters today to give us an update on Zion Williamson yesterday after practice, the first practice of the week, and after preseason coming to a conclusion. Willie Green was asked about Zion Williamson. What was the latest? Back on Monday, he told Andrew Lopez of ESPN that he was going to need a couple of scans first before they cleared him to run. He hasn't been running, much less practicing. This is what he said yesterday.
He's doing good. He was here today, getting his work in, getting his cardio. We don't have an official update as of right now, but when we do, Griffa, let you guys know where we are with Z. But he was here, good spirits, getting his work in, and we just want him to continue to progress.
So we'll see what the very latest is. And again, I don't, just my gut feelings is we're going to hear that he's not ready, but we will see. Maybe he's going to be like, hey, he was cleared and he practiced today. I don't know. Well, we'll see. So in order so we can take that live so we can actually hear it, it may be 1:15, maybe 1:30, maybe sooner. We don't want to bump, though, our good friend Corey Glory, who on Thursdays talks about the Tulane Green Wave. He is the voice of your Tulane Green Wave, who acted last week like his phone was going in and out. I think you were busy. You really didn't want to talk to me. How are you this afternoon?
Gus, I always want to talk to you, and hopefully my phone is better this week. And if I need to be bumped by Zion, I need to be bumped by Zion.
You know, you came from the parts over there, right, from ECU and Zion. Are you kind of surprised the start that he sort of had, good and bad, man? Like, part of me is, I keep getting sent photos from people of what he looked like Media Day 2019 to Media Day 2021. He looks substantially bigger. He's been injured. He hasn't started out the seasons like, you know, Pels fans sort of wanted. And it's just nuts because I remember when it was absolutely must-watch TV when Duke played basketball, man.
Yeah, I think when I was back in North Carolina, I think it was a being captured by the awe of what he was capable of doing, but there was always a little bit of a concern about whether that body could hold up. And so, you know, early on in his NBA career, to see it struggle a little bit, I don't think it's a surprise to folks back in North Carolina. I'm glad he's trying to kind of remake his body a little bit and maybe redevelop a little bit of his skills. That he was such an aggressive guy at Duke, and you just wondered if it was just going to be a ticking time bomb at some point.
Right.
Hopefully it's trending back in a better direction for him, because when he's on, he's otherworldly.
Right. And look, that's how I look at it, is that there's always hope. There's always hope for the future, and you can always build and work on things. And kind of staying on the hardwood here before we get to the football field, today is basketball media days for Tulane. And look, it's not a bad thing when you have a player on the conference preseason watch list or preseason all conference team, right? I mean, that's a good thing if you're Tulane. You haven't had many of those.
Yeah, and I'm coming to you live from Fogelman and Devlin, Gus, a place you know well. And yeah, they're going through media right now. Jalen Forbes was asked to do so much last year for Tulane men's hoops, and I don't think he'll be asked to do as much this year because Ron Hunter thinks they've got some complimentary, especially outside scoring help for him right. heading into this year. But the fact that you saw that from Jalen a season ago in his first year here and take a leadership role for a young team in the midst of a COVID year and now head into this season with still most of that team intact, along with a couple of key transfers and him, you know, leading the charge for this group, he might be asked to do less, but he might be better at doing it more. And so that's where I think Ron Hunter's excitement is when it comes to a guy like Jalen Forbes. He showed you everything last year, and now you can even dial him back a little bit, not play him 36 minutes a game, and you might even get a better version of him. So I think that's where some of the excitement comes from.
Speak with Corey Glore, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. At Corey Glore is the way to follow on Twitter. We had Coach Ron Hunter on, I want to say, about a week or and a half ago, something like that. And it was right before they left Birmingham. And he was touching on the fact that he actually did legitimately think that they had that talent level there. Corey, obviously covering the Pirates, you know this conference well. When it comes to basketball, the names of the coaches, the names of the teams, I mean, with Memphis, with Penny, all of that, you better be ready on a conference basketball game here in the American.
Yeah, there's no let up, and especially where you're Tulane, where you're still working on navigating your way upward in this league, where even a team like an East Carolina, which might be below you here, they're still going to throw a ton of physicality at you. And so night in and night out, maybe even more so than football in this league, it is just grueling. And so I think this is the best talent roster that Tulane has had since they've joined this league. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the most cohesive group that they've had since they've joined the American. But the rest of the league can say similar. And so, you know, aside from Memphis, which has a lot of one and done, they replaced them with five-star guys, you have a ton of teams that are pretty well experienced still and can play pretty much any brand of basketball you want to throw at them. But I think Ron Hunter believes that this group, you know, a couple weeks out, is capable of handling a lot of these different types of styles right. and these veteran crews that the American has.
All right, Corey, let's get to the football side of the American Athletic Conference, because for now, Houston is a part of the conference. For now, Cincinnati is a part of the conference. And unfortunately, they're among the top. Cincinnati is ranked third in the country, SMU 23rd, Houston on top. And I don't like looking at the standings and seeing Tulane at the bottom, but they are 1-5, and your record is what they say they are. Let's get to the conference here in a quick sec. When you look at this conference, is Cincy legit? Like, when you saw them drop 50 this last game, I mean, could they legitimately have a shot the rest of the way, looking at their schedule, to be in the college football playoff?
Well, I think they have a pretty clear avenue to run the table. Now, whether or not that gets them into the playoff, we will see. It is still people who make those calls, and we have seen schools in bigger conferences run tables, win their leagues, and still not find a way into the 14 playoff. Do I think they can put themselves in that spot? I do. That defense is as stout, as tenacious as anybody in the nation, maybe outside of Georgia. And mm-hmm. so that's going to win them a ton of games moving forward. Offensively, with a guy like Desmond Ridder who can be dynamic, I think he's the X factor for a team like that, where they don't necessarily have to win a 24-21 style game or a 17-10 game, which is what their defense can do. But Desmond Ridder can hang a good 35 on most teams. And so that they're about as balanced of a group as you can find in the country. They will be favored every game the rest of the way. And if they do their part, sense, and the committee in charge here, they're going to have to find a lot of reasons to not put them in, because they've gone on the road, they've gone to Indiana, they've gone to Notre Dame, and they've won those games, and that's what everyone said before the year. You got to win those first. Well, they did, and now they're going to have their crack here at the American, including Tulane in a few weeks. And if they do that, if they do what they're capable of, then there's no reason to not put them in.
UCF, Navy, Tulane, Tulsa, USF, the Mustangs on November 20th. That might be their toughest game, right? I mean, at least it's the only ranked team right now currently. And then they close out, Corey, at ECU. That'll be an interesting stadium and atmosphere there as well, no doubt, especially if they're still ranked, you know, three. Again, let's see if, you know, Georgia goes down or any of those other teams that go up there in the top of the rankings. But when you look at the rest of the conference, Corey, and Tulane sitting there at 1-5, how do you refocus here? Like, the goals obviously were bowling. That's going to be pretty difficult to do. The goal is winning the conference. That's not happening. Is the refocusing here for the Wave just get a win, get back in the win column, and start maybe putting another one together?
Yeah, I don't think you can go long picture or, you know, big picture the rest of the way right now, Gus. You have to kind of boil down to the minutia and treat this, the old cliche, is one game at a time here. And with how this slide has materialized, now you actually get some time here to unplug, to rest the bodies, to get some injuries healed up, and to maybe clear out the head a little too. You've got to just go small picture here, and you can't worry about bowl game stuff. You can't worry about the ranked teams that are coming up in Cincinnati in a few weeks, and you just got to have to go one step at a time. They still believe that they're a good club and a team that is talented. I think you saw a good amount of that in the game against Houston last week. But not finishing it off, having too many mistakes, those are the things that have crept in way too much. And so you just kind of have to go to the basics and the smaller stuff moving forward. And if you do that, then you can go to Dallas and get a win. And then you go put your chips in the basket of Cincinnati the week after that and see what happens. But you can't think about the long-term picture at this point.
I mean, you just said that. Like, I'm listening to it. I'm like, that is just a brutal stretch. Just a brutal schedule for this team, man.
I mean, you got SMU a week from tonight, and then you got Cincinnati, and then you got UCF, and who knows if they'll have their quarterback back by that point. But those three games, I mean, by the time Cincinnati works their way out of here in a couple of weeks here, Gus, you're going to see five ranked teams, I think, on the schedule by this point already. And so, I mean, it is, they knew it was going to be tough heading in, and it has proven to be even tougher. And that's what leads to a very uncharacteristic 1-5 start here for Coach Fritz.
Corey, I don't know if you have an opinion on this or not, or if you've heard anything around campus. I saw earlier in the week on Monday, the Conference USA commissioner penning a letter, openly to Mike Carrasco, commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, saying, hey, we should merge. We should somehow come together and sort of regionalize both of these conferences because of all of the conference realignment and stuff that is coming. Last week, when the news started leaking that this was coming this week, the American and Mike was kind of like, that's kind of not what we're interested in. That's not what we kind of want to do. How is that being received? And could you see something like that happening? I just feel with three teams leaving the American, it's either poaching teams from Conference USA or the Sun Belt, or there's going to be some merges. What are you kind of getting a sense and feel from other broadcasters, from other schools, or just maybe even on campus?
Yeah, I'll say there hasn't been much, at least, you know, that I've caught wind of here on campus about this stuff. Or it's on the recent news. I think everyone has an opinion since this all came out about what schools maybe to go after. And you have some, I have some, certainly. With the merger news and the Conference USA pushing this idea, I haven't heard much from here on campus. I think that's a long shot, even if the basis of that idea is pretty sound and frankly, one that I think is worth exploring. I just don't think with what we've seen from Mike Oresco and the American over the years, I can't imagine they're interested in entertaining something like that. Because to me, that's saying that your idea of building this conference, that's just saying it didn't work if you're Mike Oresco, if you go down that road. Even though doing something regionally and putting stuff together like that makes a ton of sense. I just don't envision the American actually doing that. I think the Conference USA put this together knowing that the American's probably going to grab a few of their schools or certainly are heading down that path, like UAB, which is the obvious one, and maybe a couple others. And so this is Conference USA's effort to say, well, let's stop this. And this is too much. This is madness. And let's actually put some heads together here. I just don't think Mike Oresko is that interested in doing that.
Corey Glore, as always, appreciate the time, sir. And I can already see on social media, Ron Hunter bringing the energy for basketball meetings for sure. It's going to be fun. You're going to enjoy traveling. I'm telling you, man. It's they definitely have a lot of energy with that team. And look, they battled hard. They played hard. It's just a matter of just getting a bucket here or two and getting a stop or so. And look, that's basketball, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, and I think they're building a roster. They've got a roster put in place. But I think they can do that now and move their way up this conference. So they've seen that they're picked tied for ninth. I'll tell you that here in the league. And November 9th, they're going to try and change some minds here. Certainly, they think they got the group to do it. We'll have to see.
Dude, it's not that far. It's three weekends
it's really
away.
Not,
three,
yeah.
No, it really isn't. I was like, so are you ready? Like, when's your? I'm like, oh, I got to. Oh no, actually, I. Okay, well, I need to start looking at my schedule to find out.
This football bye week has been helpful, I'll say that. It's coming at a good time. Let me just put it that way.
I hear you. At a four-year-old, sir, there is never any time. There is never any time
valid.
To it. Beverages soon, though, sir. Looking forward to it. So I will definitely get back with you. I did see your text this morning and probably over the weekend, all right?
All right. I'm open.
Sounds good. That's Corey Glore. He's the voice of the Tulane Green Wave. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll play some sound from yesterday's practice. The Pels are wrapping up here probably within the next 10 minutes or so. We hope to hear from Vice President of Basketball Operations, David Griffin. He's going to address the media and give a Zion update. Pels fans, if you want to chime in while we wait for that here as well and your thoughts on that, like, is it going to change your expectation level? Is it going to dampen your mood if he says he's not available? And I don't know that. I don't know that. If he says he's available, does that change your expectations? Like, all right, let's get going here. Like, I honestly, as we go to break, I'll say this. 5-5 in the first 10 games, I'll be impressed. Am I wrong on that? Should they be above 500, or do you expect them to be below 500 in the first 10 games? Quick break. It's the Sports Hangover in your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Stop. You've blown it all, sky. Telling me a lie without a reason why. You've blown it all, sky high.
It's the Ram Power Days going on right now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit our website at visionsourceadvancedeyecutoff.com.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Pelicans about to wrap up practice. Coach Willie Green yesterday talking about Zion Williamson, and he was asked the question, is there optimism on him playing?
We're all optimistic, and we'll see once we know further information. We'll go from there.
All right, and he was asked after that, when do you plan on wrapping him up?
Once again, once we know what our further steps are, then we'll go in that direction. But right now, just no update in terms of where we go from here.
He also said after practice that when they do have the info, when they do know the steps, David Griffin, would let us know. My understanding is that he will address the media after practice, and they're getting close to wrapping up. So we're going to try to take that live and actually hear what that update is. I don't know. My gut feeling is I don't expect to see him Wednesday. At the very best is they've cleared him to play or to practice. So here it comes, the dreaded phrase, minutes restrictions. That's the best case scenario that I can imagine right now. You're playing in 6 days. He hasn't run in 2 months. I just don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in. You know? Bring in the intern. J.D. Kleber is the way to follow over on Twitter. Jordan, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, Gus. Besides, you know, maybe the news that we may or may not be getting from David Griffin here in a few minutes, or you know, even like next 2 minutes. So If he does come on, just hang up the phone and press play on the David.
Well, you ain't got to do all that. I'm just gonna. I have it ready to go on the computer.
Oh, just hang up for me.
But like, I can tell in your tone though. This is a serious question. 800-998-1003. Rest of the hour's open. Oh, Kenny Farrell at 145. We'll talk about the U.S. men's national soccer team win yesterday. He was having a meltdown when Costa Rica scored in the first minute and a half. But I could tell in your tone, are you expecting bad news? Is that where we are right now as a Pels fan base and people that cover this team? I'm with you, though. Like, when I heard, well, you might hear from Griff today. Here it comes. I'm expecting to hear, you know, the latest scans revealed we're not where we want to be. I'm expecting that. I can hear it in your tone. Are you expecting bad news or good news?
I'm expecting bad news. Because if it's usually good news, then it's almost just like, all right, here's an update. Like, we get a Twitter update saying, All right, Zion Williamson is on schedule. But now that David Griffin kind of has to come out, and it seems like, all right, well, why is he talking? It almost seems like they have to backtrack a little bit from what they said previous a few weeks ago, saying that he should be starting the first regular season game. And that's just what I feel like and what you feel like is going to be the case, is them trying to, you know, kind of put out some of those fires like they did Zion's first year, saying that he will be there the start of the regular season. And we all know how that ended up.
But my thing is this, why I feel not confident that it's going to be good news is because the best news would be all good. See you on Wednesday. But Jordan, I don't know what kind of shape he's in. And the videos I've seen him working, well, doing calisthenics, he's doing push-ups, he's doing, you know, knee bends. I mean, literally, he looks like he's doing a cardio class. I know, and with long sleeves and sweatshirts, you do that when you're trying to drop LBs. And that makes sense. He hasn't been able to run, work out, so I'm not being ugly. He can't be in the best basketball shape right now. And he's not going to be. It's going to take time. So, quite honestly, Jordan, I've said this, I said at the top of the show, I would say you take the month of October, the rest of the month of October, and you just literally get in shape. Go up and down the court, practice when the team practices. You might stay back or do whatever, like run up and down the court, kiss it off the glass, get the rebound, run to the other side, put a layup, grab the ball, like just absolutely run up and down the court, get your work in, get in shape, sing in November. I mean, I honestly feel that way. That's just me. But from a Pelicans fan base standpoint, is that disconcerting? Is that something you want? Is that you don't want? I don't know. I don't know where I'm at with this situation yet again. Does that make any sense?
I mean, if it wasn't for the past couple of years of, with a slow start from the Pelicans, I mean, you know how important it is to get off to a fast start in the NBA, because it seems like once you lose a string of games, you know, the first couple of weeks, it's almost very hard to catch back up to that 500 standpoint, especially mm-hmm. New Orleans Pelicans. I know Pelicans fans know all about that. So, I mean, if the narrative was kind of different the past couple of years, I mean, even with, you know, a healthy enough Zion, I might have said, yeah, take a month off, go get your body in right shape, come back ready to play some basketball, run up and down the court. But now with, you know, this being one of the most important seasons for David Griffin and the Pelicans, and just to see where this team is at, see if all the moves that they made during the offseason, it's very important to see if, you know, Zion has to start if he is healthy, because you got to get off to that fast-paced start, like I was saying.
All right, so the first 10 games, that's kind of where I want to go with this. Last year we said, look, it's important to be, I think, above 500 if you can. Here's your first 10 games. You start the season at home against Philly. Then you're on the road for the next three. Chicago, Minnesota, and Minnesota. Those weird, you know, not back-to-back nights, but back-to-back games with the same opponent. You're going to play Minnesota Saturday, October 23rd, and Monday, October 25th, so you will rest on Sunday. But it's Philly at home at Chicago, and we just saw that in preseason, and that didn't look good. Minnesota, Minnesota, and then you host Atlanta. That's your first five games, okay? And Atlanta, pretty good. Then you host Sacramento, the Knicks, and then you go on the road for four. Phoenix, Sacramento, Golden State is game 10, Dallas is game 11. So let's look at the first 11, Jordan, because it's part of that home, you know, I mean, that road trip. It's a four-game road trip. So that's your first 11 games, right? So you want to look at it, the 10, that's fine. Just letting you know what game 11 is. It's at Dallas. So it's Philly, Chicago, Minnesota, Minnesota, Atlanta, Sacramento, New York, Phoenix, Sacramento, Golden State. Do you see six wins there? Because that's what it would require to go above 500.
All right, so let's go through them one by one.
Okay.
I mean, there's so much distraction going on over in Philly. I can see the Pels stealing the game, even though they do have an MVP candidate already in Joel Embiid. So I can see them stealing a game. You know, they could steal a game against a very good opponent there mm-hmm. with their opening game. Then we'll move on to the Bulls. That's the Bulls, am I correct?
So, yeah, they're at Chicago, yes.
They're at Chicago, yeah. I mean, that team is looks like that. They're a very good team. So I'm going to say that game's a loss.
All right, so you're going 1-1.
1-1. Even though the Timberwolves, you know, kind of kicked the Pelicans' butt during the preseason, I think they do
say split.
Take one.
Yep.
They split the road trip.
Okay, so you're 2-2 coming home hosting Atlanta.
Correct. Hosting Atlanta, I think
ESPN.
Pelicans haven't had a very good
no. They don't do very well on national television.
Television. So I'm going to chalk that one up with a loss.
You're going with the loss of that. Okay, so 2-3. Sacramento is next. I'm going win.
This one could be a toss up. I agree. I'm going with a win.
Okay, 3-3. The Knicks to wrap up the three game homestand on Saturday, October 30th. I'm going win. I'm going 4-3.
If Zion's playing, it better be a win.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying.
The whole narrative with New York.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's the end of the month. So let's hope that is. All right. So 4-3. You're at Phoenix. That's an L. That's an L. 4-4. At Sacramento. Can you get them again?
I don't know. I think they win that. I think the Kings win.
So 4-5 at Golden State on a Friday night. Vaya con Dios. I'm going 4-6. First 10.
And then the Warriors, they win that game, the Warriors. And then you look at Luka Doncic.
Uh-oh. So that's 4-7. Wait a minute. So okay, but again, I don't think what we just did was out of the box there. And look, some of those can be wins and some of those can be losses, but just realistically, and especially if
from what
Zion
we've seen the past couple of years.
Yeah, I just I could see 4-6. I could see 4-6, 4-7 if you had that Dallas game, the first 10. Philly, Chicago, Minnesota, Minnesota, Atlanta, Sacramento, New York, Phoenix, Sacramento, Golden State, the first 10. And then there's one more on the road at Dallas before they come back home and face OKC and Brooklyn. But that's what I'm saying. How key is it for this team to be above 500? I just don't see it. It's the old thing. I'm trying to preach patience because I think it's going to be a bit, especially if Zion's not ready to go, or even if he is ready to go until he gets in shape. If David Griffin comes out of practice today and says he's ready to go, he's not in shape, folks. So it's going to take a week or two. I mean, it just is before he can kind of get going. Brandon Ingram said yesterday after practice, Jordan, you cut the sound. It's going to take a while for everybody to gel and to get together. So, I mean, if you give it 2 weeks, you're in November, right? You're in games 7 and 8. So, I mean, so yeah, that's how you look at it like that. Let me take a quick break, sir. And when we come back, we'll kind of continue this discussion. I want to keep you on for this. There was something that I saw on social media. I just sent it to you. Drew Brees, first 5 games 2 seasons ago. Jameis Winston, first 5 games this season. Who do you think has the better stats? We'll talk about that when we come back as we await the Pels to finish practice. It's the Sports Hangover in your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
I was surprised.
I was definitely surprised.
Yep, we had no idea. Totally surprised.
Can you say jaw drop?
Who knew? State Farm, with these great rates?
The surprise everyone's talking about is the surprisingly great rates for home and auto insurance from State Farm, especially when you combine them.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today. 985-632-0988.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So your wipers are streaking? It might be time for a new set. We've got a great deal to help you get the job done and get ready for that rainy fall weather. Right now, you can get a $15 AutoZone gift card when you buy 2 Bosch Envision wiper blades. And we've even got more ways to shop. Just order online with our free same-day store pickup or next-day delivery.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Start your job today at AutoZone.com. Restrictions apply.
Did you know the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. Ryan was out of work when he started classes in March. In September, he started his IT career working for Amazon, making more money than he ever thought possible. Here's a prime opportunity. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wood.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
All right, waiting for the Pels to wrap up practice. Been told that David Griffin will address the media afterwards and give us an update on Zion Williamson. Again, 6 days away before the Pels open up the regular season. We've been talking about that with Jordan, our intern, who's sticking around for a quick bit, because I want to bring up something that I saw on social media that I thought very interesting. When it comes to quarterback comparisons of Jameis Winston and Drew Brees. So, Jordan, I saw this yesterday. First 5 games, last 2 seasons for the Saints. They've had different quarterbacks, of course. So, Drew Brees was the quarterback in 2020. The Saints were 3-2. He averaged 7.6 yards per attempt. 9 touchdowns. 3 interceptions. Passer rating of 102.7. Jameis Winston, first 5 games, 3-2. Average yards per attempt, 7.7. Touchdowns to interception, 12-3. Passer rating, 108.1. Statistically, Jameis Winston's start with through five games was better than Drew Brees through five games in 2020. What's interesting is if you look at the supporting cast, the injuries, and the weapons that each had, that's kind of surprising. And what does that tell you? Because it kind of goes, Jordan, to what we were talking about yesterday. I still get a sense and feeling that Saints fans haven't completely bought in just yet. I think they want to. I don't think it's we don't like him or not. I don't think it's that. But I think the inconsistency, perhaps, or the, I don't know, sort of the games have been, sometimes haven't been pretty, finding ways to win, things of that nature. Maybe people aren't kind of looking at it like that, but Jordan, statistically, Jameis has a better first five games, and he's also added the deep ball. Are you surprised when you look at the stats side by side, Brees and Winston, first five games, or do you think it's even relevant?
I think let's just call it how it is. The Giants game is what everyone's looking at. I think that's the whole reason why if they haven't bought in, that's the main concern. Well, if we lose if we win against the Giants, you're a 4-1 team heading into the bye. And losing that game, I think, really hurt. You know, I wouldn't say like Jameis Winston's image, but I just think fans' perception of, you know, coming to, you know, the realization that, yeah, he is going to be your starting quarterback for the foreseeable future, like you were kind of mentioning. I think that Giants game kind of put a damper on, you know, the role that they were kind of getting into.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things as well, Jordan, that stands out to me is when you think of the lack of time in game snaps, the lack of time chemistry wise with the people he's currently playing on, the lack of a lot of different aspects of, you know, cohesiveness and continuity of offensive linemen. I mean, again, in the win last week, it was James Hurst, Will Clapp going left to right, Cesar Ruiz, your right guard at center, Throckmorton at right guard, and Ryan Ramczyk. Like, and they put up 33 points. I guess that's why, and you know me, I am definitely not Captain Excitable, right? I mean, that's not who I am. I tried to look at things with clear eyes, maybe some beer goggles at times, but for the most part, I tend to look at it through clear eyes. And if this guy is doing this statistically, at least we can make this comparison. He's statistically comparable to Drew Brees through five games. I mean, that's a fact.
An old version of Drew Brees.
But still, you're missing my point though, because that's what I'm about to get to. You can say his arm kept those stats down, but there was nothing wrong with his head. And yet, I think I would argue more weapons. I guess what I'm getting at is this, is a person that absolutely knew the offense back and forwards is statistically darn near the same. Well, he's below what Jameis Winston has done. Now, you can sit there and say, well, Gus, Jameis is connected on a couple of bombs. You can take those away that will add to the... Well, no, you can't take that away. That's an element that he's added to it. I mean, that counts.
Right.
You know, I mean, I can't sit there and say, well, Drew's deepest pass through five games was 14 yards, so we got to take all the passes that... No, I mean, what I'm saying is in this offense through five games, you can at the very least argue he's statistically comparable to Drew Brees. And what's remarkable about that is Drew Brees, I think at the time, had better weapons. Drew Brees absolutely had a better understanding of the playbook. And that's remarkable to me. I think when you think about it, because it should tell you there's a really good opportunity and chance that I think Jameis Winston, as a sticky note that I have on it, I think the guy can be a Pro Bowl quarterback. I mean, if you give him the weapons and you give him the linemen that come back and that defense gets better, short fields, things of that nature, maybe give him some leads and turnovers. I mean, Jordan, I guess what I'm trying to say is, to me, it seems like the sky is the limit. I mean, look at it statistically. First five games in 2020, first five games in 2021. They're identical. He has better stats by a few decimals, but they're right there. So, and they won 12 games in 2020.
So you're gonna revise your season prediction for your New Orleans Saints? I'm hearing we're going to the Super Bowl.
That's not what I said. What I'm saying is you have a quarterback that is doing a pretty darn good job with what he has, for sure. That statistically is at the very least comparable to a Hall of Fame quarterback running this offense two seasons ago. And he doesn't have the line that you would think. And again, you look at the weapons that he has out there, and I think it's remarkable, to be honest with you. It kind of shows the job that Sean Payton's done, the job that Jameis has done, man, to be honest with you. I mean, because you would think with all of that, you're trying to force more, you're trying to create and make more plays, and he just hasn't. He has the same amount as interceptions in three, and he has a few more touchdowns, 12 to Drew's 9.
Another thing, I feel like a lot of Saints fans, even me included, you know, came into the season with such high, like unreasonable expectations for this team. I mean, it's kind of hard to follow up a guy like Drew Brees. I feel like a lot of Saints fans might have been thinking, well, if we're getting a younger quarterback, so let's just kind of rewind a couple of years, go back to 2012 when Drew Brees had that monster of an arm, and it's kind of not exactly that. But I mean, you are seeing some glimpses from Jameis Winston throwing the long ball. I think that's a lot more Saints fans want to see in the coming week.
All right, Jordan, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to go to the break early. Kenny Farrell was scheduled to come on in about 5 minutes, but the Pels are still practicing. Head coach Willie Green either doesn't like what he's seen, or he's trying to make sure this team is getting ready for the regular season opener. So they've already gone 11 minutes past their normal end time, and we're supposed to hear from David Griffin. So let's hit the break early. We'll get Kenny on to talk about the U.S. men's national soccer team's win last night. And then that way, when David Griffin starts to speak, hopefully before the top of the hour, we can go to him. So quick break. Thank you, Jordy. We'll hear from you later. It's the Sports Hangover, and you're home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Say the real or it's a dream, there's nothing that is in between. Twilight, I only meant to stay a while. Twilight, I gave you time to spend the night away from me.
Robert, I have a proclamation to make.
A proclamation?
A proclamation to the people of New Orleans.
Proclamate away, Lori.
We don't think you're stupid.
Of course we don't think they're stupid. What's gotten into you?
Friends, we don't think you're stupid.
Lori, what's going on?
A customer bought a big diamond from us for $7,000.
Diamond Mine Diamond or Plasma Chamber Diamond?
Diamond Mine.
And?
They said another store showed them a smaller, lower quality diamond and claimed it was a $10,000 diamond, but they are willing to sell it for only $7,000.
Oh, now I see.
A customer asked me, do those people think I'm stupid?
Wow.
And that was just the first one. I've talked to 5 more people who've had a similar experience.
Okay, so what's your solution?
Friends, look at the diamond, look at the price.
And then come to Ramsey's.
Look at our diamond, look at our price.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Your new Ford dealership in LaFouche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford service department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
According to Forbes, gyms, stores, and more are set to go on an epic hiring spree to meet up pent-up demands for all these services. Businesses reopening means that millions of jobs will need to be filled. So where do they turn to fill these roles fast? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/BART. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BART.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Last night, U.S. taking on Costa Rica.
Here comes Matarita for Costa Rica. And arriving is Fuller, who scored! Exactly 1 minute in, Keisha Fuller!
I paused there because at that moment our next guest was losing his mind. The rest of the highlights!
To regroup, but here's Dest! Oh! Just like his first goal for the U.S. Back against Jamaica earlier in the year. It's another thunderbolt from Serginho Dest. And at long, long last, the United States have discovered how to score a first half goal. It's mostly defensive on their part. Here's Ware! It's in! Timothy Ware celebrates. It may go down as an own goal because it came off the post onto the keeper and in.
Doesn't matter. 65th minute. That was the deciding goal. 2-1, the U.S. wins. Jester's head coach, Kenny Farrow, who probably lost some hair, maybe grew an ulcer when 1 minute in Costa Rica scores. Kenny, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Very happy with the result. looking good. Going forward. A little nerve-wracking yesterday when they went down 1-0 in the first minute, but that's the way it goes. No, all good.
I was going to say, is that the life of a coach? You were completely miserable 1 minute in, then at the end you're like, good win. A win's a win, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. You wonder how, like, if I went 1-0 down in a game, and it was obviously you've got to maintain composure as you go forward, mm-hmm. but your tendency as a team is to want to get the goal quickly. And when I heard them say, we found out how to score in the first half, I felt that we had good possession. I thought the team was extremely good. But they were looking to switch play, get behind, get players in the box, and run at players, score goals. And it made it for an exciting game because you're 1-0 down with 89 minutes left, basically, 88 minutes. And but you want to get that goal. They did it in a composed fashion. They were much the superior side, I felt. Counterattack could have hurt them a little bit, and they may have been lucky not to be, you know, Costa Rica awarded the penalty. Mm-hmm. I felt it was, and if there was VAR, it might have been. They got 2-1 down. But apart from that, they deserved it. It was a super performance for me, and I'm so glad that we bounced back from what really was a dismal performance last Sunday.
Coming off of the win, or the game in Panama, rather, the lineup mm-hmm. changes was an issue. And Buckholder, right. Berhalter, was very critical of himself, saying, I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have messed with the mm-hmm. lineups. What did you see with the lineup mm-hmm. yesterday? Was it more of what we saw the lineup against Jamaica? Did he make some changes there?
Yeah.
I think he changed the
yeah.
keeper. You tell me the difference between Panama and yesterday lineup-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to have a different philosophy. The good thing about Berhalter, he put his hand up. I was kind of shocked at that many changes. I think we spoke last week, and I said maybe one or two tactically, but the team deserves to go out and play. Now, look, they didn't have as much possession away from home, and it's very, very different playing in, you know, Central America than it is playing in the U.S. They came back, they had lots of possession last night and had a similar performance to the one that they had against Jamaica 7 days ago. But when you just look at the performance and the players that he put out there, they're the ones that are getting it done right now. And we, again, I keep saying this here, we've spoken about this since he was hired. He was trying to find a team, see who could contribute when they go to World Cup finals, but who can actually get them there. I think you're at the point right now that you've got to put out basically the best team every time you play. And that's just my philosophy. You cannot afford to screw up, basically. And, you know, and making as many changes and squad rotations, I don't know in World Cup qualifiers that that's the right strategy. I think you should get your best players and get as many points on the board as you possibly can. You don't look past the next game. And I think that might have been a mistake. You know, but it was very flat in Panama. It was so disappointing coming up at the next game. And then you come out last night and you see some really, really good stuff. And I was quite excited to see it. And maybe it's lessons learned. But right now, you're in qualifying. You put yourself in good position. Mm-hmm. You're top of the table. It's a great bracket. It's not an easy bracket. The tough games ahead. The two Mexico games are ahead. And all the teams are pretty much competitive except for Jamaica. They're getting into games. So it's going to be a great World Cup qualifying bracket to watch going forward. I think they've done themselves some great stuff this week as they position themselves at the top of the bracket. The confidence is there. We have, you know, obviously, Berhalter's got to prove that he is a world class coach at some point, and that when we get to the World Cup, he'll be tactically smart enough confident enough, have the players believing in him enough that when he puts it out in the field, they can compete and get into the second round and go on. So that's where he is right now. Mm-hmm. I think he showed last night that he's brave enough to know when he's wrong and to get it right. And I think that's a good thing about a coach.
Canada beating Panama by that score was just as big as well, right? I mean, you have some breathing room. You're second on the table. Mexico has 14 total points. U.S. 11, Canada 10. But then the next spot is Panama. So as long as you get some points here, to your point, you should be in that top three. But that's why it was sort of key. And at the same time, why it stunk to lose to Panama. That's why right there.
Yeah, could you imagine if you didn't get the luck last night? You win the game 2-1. You thoroughly deserve it. Let's be fair. Costa Rica should have had a penalty. Mm-hmm. And there was a breakaway in the second half that could have put them 2-1 up when they stole the ball and he went straight into the goalkeeper. He got caught by the central defender. I forget which defender caught him. But you could have gone 2-1 down last night. And then you have a completely different situation. You've got Costa Rica on 8 points. And you've got the U.S. in the same position, basically. So it was that tight. They've broken away through this series of games in October. And we've got more games to come, but I think they're positioned really well, and hopefully they would have learned. And plus, remember, there are a couple of very key players. If anything, they're more world-class players that still need to come in. So I'd say they're in good position right now. To get 6 points out of nine over the last week, you know, they probably would have wanted seven. I remember saying to you prior to the game starting that seven would be good, two wins and a draw would be good. But they got the two wins. And they're in good position right now.
Sergino Dest, that goal he scored, that's like EPL style. I mean, that was as good a goal as you're going to see. That was an absolute rocket off of his left foot, and there isn't a keeper in the world that can stop that, as Juan Kincaid said yesterday on his sportscast. That was an absolute missile that went in.
It was super, and they gave him the opportunity, and that's what you want from Sergino Dest. You know, and that's why he needs to be in games. Pepe needs to be in games. He needs to be in games. It's very hard to leave them out of any game, you know, so because they can do these things. But having said that, he took advantage of, if you replay that goal, he took advantage of very poor defending. You're on the 18-yard box, he runs here, and there's no pressure. If you look, Costa Rica has seven defenders in the 18-yard box, and no one's pressing him. So he did the right thing. He took his time, he laid it up, he hit a beautiful shot. It was top class, beat the goalkeeper, and it looks fantastic. So, but on the other hand, my mind is like, as a central defender in my day, is like, I'd be really upset that he got that much room. But let's be fair, it was a super, super goal. It is top class. It'll be one that will be repeated so often on TV. And, you know, first half goal, get them back 1-1, go in at half time. Mm-hmm. Players are believing themselves. They're bought in. The coach is bought in. You feel the fervor and you can feel the stadium. It was a great night for the USA last night.
Finally, head coach Kenny Farrell, the New Orleans Jesters, talking about the U.S. win over Costa Rica 2-1. The next thing that is up for them, the next set of fixtures, you got two more games, and that's it for this calendar year. Friday, November 12th, the U.S. and Mexico, 8 o'clock on ESPN2. Then Tuesday, November 16th, Jamaica, and that's going to be over in Jamaica. Good luck trying to find that game. Anyway, the point is, those are the two games, Coach. Bell's practice is wrapping up. So give me about your best 60 seconds here. What's the thing that stands out? You, of those two games, it's about Mexico, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because Mexico can compete with the top teams in the world anytime they step on the field. And that's a measure for us. Listen, we want a point or 2 points out of it because we want to be safe on the World Cup. It'll be a different game completely when it comes to possession and when it comes to effective players being able to score goals against you. So your mindset has to be a little bit different. It's a lot higher quality than what you've just been playing. So that'll be a good measure for the coach and the players. And when you get to the World Cup finals, you want to be able to handle this level of a team. And then the second game, going down to Jamaica, well, expect anything down there. It might be a soaked pitch. It might be a soaked pitch and the bus might break down. I say this all the time when you go to those countries. Mm-hmm. So be prepared for it, but don't mess up. Come away with the victory. 4 points, a tie and a win would be phenomenal. Two wins would be fantastic, but a tie and a win. I think anything less than that is something, you know, we need to do better. So we need at least 4 points out of six coming out of the next two games.
Eight games remain, Kenny. That's it. Eight games remain. Next calendar year. You got January, El Salvador, Canada. And then in February, it's Honduras, just one game. And then in March, it's three. It's Mexico, Panama, Costa Rica. Let's just hope that you don't have to wait till March to qualify, because that will be a brutal stretch if you have to beat Mexico, Panama, and Costa Rica, right? I mean, you definitely don't want to, you want to qualify here January. You take care of your business at the end of January. Get the win over Salvador. Get the win over Canada. If you beat Mexico, Kenny, they're in, huh?
Yeah. And you know what? For the U.S., exactly right what you just said. But when you're in CONCACAF, the U.S. has to be either number one or number two with Mexico. And the other teams are all getting better around this region. But they need to be number one or number two, and they need to solidify that and improve themselves as a soccer nation that they should be. So that would be the goal. So by the time you go in there, hopefully you just need to pick up a few points to solidify first or second spot. And that would be a great success heading towards the World Cup final. So it's some great stuff. Very happy the USA are doing so well. And they came out with 6 out of 9 points. And it's just on to the next stage. It's all about the next game now.
And Coach Kenny Farrell of your New Orleans Jesters, I promise I will eventually meet up with you. I got stuck at home yesterday. No, I'm serious. Like, my wife's like, he's going to think you don't like him. It has nothing to do with that. I promise. I promise. I didn't even get to see most of it. I did.
Well, I was keeping you updated.
Look, you were, and I literally had, I grabbed my laptop. My son's watching, Disney Now. I'm doing something on the table work-wise. So I opened up a window, had my phone on the Watch ESPN app. I was trying to watch it while finishing some work, and I'm like, my goodness. But it was, look, like you said, the one thing I do want to leave off with this, Kenny, that atmosphere in that place, I did see a story that Columbus seems to be like the place to kind of re-energize the team's soul over there. That crowd was so amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. And we need that. I don't want to showing up in games just because of numbers, 100,000 people with 70,000 people from an opposing country like Mexico and 30,000 from America when you're playing on American soil. I think they need to find the best stadiums and keep going back to them, the ones they're most comfortable in, the ones that have 90% support behind them. This is really important. These are very serious games. These are not about business. This is about, to me, getting qualified first, you know. I agree with you. Columbus is great. The update of that stadium is even better, the brand new stadium. So I'm with you on that. Let's find a hub that are really friendly to the home team, the USA, and move forward with that.
All right. As always, man, appreciate the time. Head Coach Kenny Farrell, thank you so much, sir.
Cheers. Thank you, sir.
Yep, for sure. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Practice is wrapped up. David Griffin seems to be making his way over to the podium. We'll try to find a way to get that for you. If not, we'll tell you exactly what he has to say. So we'll do all of that and more. We'll take the break. We'll come back. Lee Sterling, 215. And then also, of course, Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com at the bottom of the hour. 2 hours are in. Another hour still to come. As, again, it gives me a chance to tell you about the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, DraftKings. Please, please, please go download that app. Put in the code LaRose. I promise you, you'll like it. You'll enjoy the games more. You'll like your lineup. All you got to do is stay under a salary cap, and then you have confidence because it's safe, secure, reliable with your cash. You can deposit, withdraw whenever you want since you're going to win. I promise you, it's that easy, and you're going to have fun watching games. Enter the code LaRose. Download the DraftKings app now.